Blog Talk Radio.
Define an MC like me who's strong. These motherfuckers are bored when the verb is supported. When I command the microphone, I get delicate condo. With a bear and a snake and a panda among those who can withstand the more power I gain and make it possible for me to drop you direct to brain. Imagine to keep on wishing upon a star. Finally realizing who the fuck we are when I penetrate. As in the Santa Fe, they went to be the greatest MC of all time. When I create a rhyme for the simple fact. When I attack with crunchy pride, I'm attention to ride. Every time all night, I'm faced with the stars beyond. It's fun bar for me to put down my guard. I'm faced with a mirage breaking the gas with a 6-8 all day. In and out with my pace, assume to count the body.
So mandatory, my elevation, my lyrics like orientation. So you could be more familiar with the nigga you facing. We must be facing nothing better than communication. Known the damage and highly flammable like gas stations. Sorry, I left that ass waiting. No more procrastination, give up the fate and get that ass shaking. I'm busting and making motherfuckers panic. Don't take your life for granted, put that ass in the dirt. You swear the bitch was planted. My lyrics motivate the planet. It's similar to Rhythm Nation, but dubbed out. Forgive me, Janet. Who's in control? I'm activating your soul. You know the way the game's getting told. Yo, 2 years ago, a friend of mine told me Alizé and Chris style blows your mind. Bear witness to the dopest fucking rhyme I throw. Taking off my coat, clearing my throat.
I got my mind made up. Come on, come on. Get into it.
Cheat on it.
Let it ride.
Get with it.
Tonight's the night. I got my mind made up. Come on, get into it. Let it ride. Tonight's the night.
Well, I come through with 2 packs of the bomb prophylax for protection, so my fucking sack won't collapse. Cause nowadays, shit's evading the x-rays, sending young motherfuckers through an early grave. I wonder if my terrifying attack is the torturing MC shows my heart's as cold as a tundra. Electrifying like thunder, I'm just too much. Rough and raw with that motherfucking poisonous touch. I'm an MC with lyrics, that's the fucking Bombay. You got 10 steps before instant death like Bob X. My rhymes, I leave a mark on your mind as the deadly vibes spread to your head like Sampon. There's no escape, 9 blasts. I use my mental to assassinate assassins. For those asking to pose the last raw maniacal villain. Laughter enhances the chances of the killing. Why is that? The smiling faces see. You best believe, to a seize, I'm the deadliest disease. My thoughts rip your throat and make it hard to breathe. Your whole camp's under siege, and I'm Jason Voorhees. In the heat of the night is when I defeat and ignite Mike. My verbal snipe, your vocab on sight. I'm out the cut, uncut and raw with no flaw. Fall, storm, a rhyme pit and split the bricks on the wall. Should already have an idea about the superior sphere. The greater rhyme creator on both sides of the equator. I rock from here to there, to Philly and back to LA on the spot where I rock and bust like trash. As your views get overshadowed when you come in contact. Beware, set and prepare to end the verbal combat.
Fuck you losers, why you fake jacks? I make maneuvers like Hitler, sticking up with German. The Mr. Mephical from Staten Island. We'll be back after this message. Don't touch the dial. Rarely do you see an MC out for justice. Got my gunpowder and my musket. Blow out. Melons get swellings. I paint mental pictures like Magellan. Half of my clans repeat felons. Niggas best protect they joints, the 9 nickels. Man, I stay on point like icicles. Now who wanna test the cow? Then test the cow. All up in your motherfucking mouth. Headbanger boogie. Catch me on tour with Al Doogie. Method Man hold too tight. You can't pull me. Better take one and pass, or that's that ass. Your vital statistics are low when falling fast. Johnny Blaze out to get loot like Johnny Cash. Play your game of Russian roulette and have a blast.
Hey yo, lyrical gas spitting the criminal tactics. Non-believers get my dick and genitals backwards. Let's face it, there's no replacement. Taste this, mad underground basement. Shit I'm laced with, avalanche on your whole camp when I'm flipped. Fuck Dr. Who's spot, bitch, don't get it twisted. I got connects like Federal Express to get the fresh back at the bless. The dog can't fetch, got the clear spot from the rear block. Do bust till every nigga teardrop, men I fear not. Hold your nose and blow out till your ears pop. Since your crew suits you to shift, now you claim that your gears lock. Whip, this underground, cannabis, I'm dangerous like dog the bomb analyst. Flipping seeds like keys, my degrees freeze consecutively like EPMD LPs.
slip off a shot and hit your fan by mistake. So I erase the whole front row at the wake. I plant my escape in case Jaguar snake busted. I'm the one pushing the hearse in the first place. Confidence for you shaky ass folk. Pump for Rockefeller for the day he got smoke. Choke off this antidote, got you hope. Get roped by my lyrical Billy D45 Colt.
And I'm out. I am at the rebel.
Fight the power. All right, all right. See if I can find my partner in crime here somewhere.
Hey, Jay.
Gina.
I'm here.
What's going on with you?
Happy Saturday. I'm just so glad that we're in the building. How you doing?
I know. We're all together again. We're here. We're here.
This is the show, not the rehearsal.
Man. This is definitely the show. I would like to thank Epiphany, first of all, before we even make a move, for even making this possible, to make this even happen. The For Real Network, Raw Links, Van, our producer in the back that's helping us out with the show today. We appreciate you, brother, and everything. All right, Gina, we can go ahead and get off into the shenanigans now.
Yes, indeed. So for the last couple of weeks, not just here at Epiphany, but also on Clubhouse, we've been making sure that poets are all right because we have to do wellness checks, and mental health awareness is a necessity, not just in January, but always. And so we're checking in. And since we've done that 2 weeks in a row on different platforms, this Saturday, we want to emphasize the things that we can do that are preventative. So in your day-to-day life, when you know that you have triggers and there are things that are stressing you and going to take you in a place that you don't want to be, you have to have a defense mechanism that you can put in place. Some of us have it and some don't. And those of us who do need to inform the ones who do not ways in which they can keep themselves healthy. So it doesn't have to be once the depression has kicked in or the anxiety has gotten the best of me, but before that takes place. Let's see what I can do to get myself on track. So that's why we're here tonight.
Hey, I'm right there with you as far as the prevention. Ain't no sense in waiting until the fire get out of control before you go ahead and do something to go ahead and snuff that out. Unfortunately, the way that we people of color have been built, we have been built and conditioned to go ahead and let things get to a certain point. Right now what we're doing by checking on y'all, we're trying to buck the trend. Also, this should be something that be contagious. If you see somebody else going through some of these similar things, you don't have to be a shrink or nothing, and we definitely are not, and we are not giving psychological help or whatever the hell you want to call it, but we're just talking about humaning. A lot of times humaning will go ahead and stave off a lot of these different ills that we have.
Absolutely, I agree. I always say this, the problem with peopling today is there's no humans in humanity. And every time I'm around people and I feel like, you know, do I just not fit in? What's going on here? Did I not get the memo? Is there something else taking place that nobody gave me the heads up to? I used to look out for people, and now I look out for people, and I hate that that's the case. So all I want to do is get back to the point where adulting, being a human and being a person is okay and safe.
Yeah, that's important too. Like we were talking about earlier, we shouldn't have our hand forced in either direction. But unfortunately, sometimes we, in order to keep ourselves safe, that's what we have to go ahead and do. Eliminate ourselves from some things that that have been hindering us, to say the least.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I did something recently that I didn't think I would ever do because I always thought that cats were creepy. I got her fur baby, and I'm a meow me because my cat Luna moved in. She's been in for almost 3 weeks, and I can't believe that it's worked out because it seemed like every single day I wanted to put a note around her collar that said, you know, free for the hauling. Everything, her little box, her bed, her blanket. Hold on, her cat food, her spray, her paperwork, and her treats, because she was treating me like I was her human and she wasn't my cat. And there are some days when I realized that, you know, if I were an animal, I'd be her. So I got to stop fighting against it and just embrace it. But that has helped me tremendously mentally. And I just feel like I'm in a good place every day because as much as she makes me sick, I look forward to seeing her when I wake up. And knowing that in my sleep I'm going to hear something crazy that she's doing and have to, you know, get to the bottom of it. But, yeah, it gives me
right. At least she's your first line of defense, though. She's right on top of whatever the hell you
oh, yeah.
you just heard.
Just
if it's
never
not heard,
heard
then she's on top of it. Right. I was just hitting you off because I had a dog, and I had when we want this dog to have a puppy so bad for so long because she was getting up in age. She was having these litters, and the litters would go ahead and die. Finally, she had one puppy, and it was a boy, and it was by a Shar Pei, and he was a good big dog, and yeah, he was a mutt. But the dog that was produced behind it was one of the best dogs we ever had. His name was Bull. I told the mother, I said, "Ooh, you just had your replacement." She hated that dog. She hated that dog. I didn't know she spoke English. I just thought she knew
this. Yeah, just know this. My cat is even bilingual, and they speak human. They have the language. They speak human. Body language, too. You can say whatever you want to. They're going to watch you and see how you act, and they're going to act accordingly. Woo!
Yeah, pets are a good way to go ahead and help us stabilize ourselves as well. You know, I'd have had chickens and everything else since we've been down here in Arkansas. Chickens, ducks, guineas. Pig.
Me and my daughter and first husband lived in Germany on a farm. I never would have thunk it, but yeah. I didn't even think I would ever use, cook with, or taste goat's milk, nor churn my own butter and get eggs out of a basket that was still warm. Ooh, freshly laid.
Oh, that's gross. I remember the first time I saw the warm egg. I was like, ugh, I can't eat this.
I use room temperature eggs to bake and for omelets and scrambled eggs. So as far as I was concerned, this was even better than that. Just let me sit on the counter for a minute while I get everything else started, and then let's go.
Yeah, that's what we had found out, too, because at first we was like kind of like washing the eggs off as we brought them in and wasn't they heavy. And we found out that if you don't wash them off, you can leave them outside, leave them in the on the table or something like that, and they won't
oh, yeah.
go bad because they still have a bloom on them. Right. Oh, well. I'm quite sure we're done with dealing with people with.
I believe we're going to help the poets feel like they need to get ahead of it before depression and anxiety, or even it could be seasonal, like we were talking about the winter blahs are grabbing a hold of them. We should lead by example. So I think we should do a poet speed round, go to a track, and then open the mic for the poets because we had poets in queue before we were even ready to go. So... if that's okay,
a poet speed round. I mean, a whole speed round.
Just me and you. So, I mean, you and I should do a piece, play a track, and then go to the callers.
Oh, I got to do poetry on a poetry show, man. Come on now.
Well,
I'm
going to go. Look, I'm going to go, and I'm going to let him do him.
You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave.
No, but when I say I'm going, I'm not saying that I'm going to leave. What I'm saying is I spit my piece, and you can just sit there and play, you know, twiddle, tiddle.
Oh, see, that's how we're doing
petty
now.
Cake with yourself.
All right. I'll go ahead and do a piece, too, then.
Thank you. Because we're going to leave by example.
How are we going to do this?
I'm going
to
do the...
You want me to go first and you finish this out?
Sure, but I'm just letting give you the heads up. I'm doing the piece that we did for the blues that we have that are seasonal. And I don't know what your goal was, but that's where I'm going. So the mic is yours.
Well, let's try to get there together then.
Let's go.
All right. How curious, me the caterpillar, munching and eating as though my entire existence depending upon every savory morsel, eating as though I am not present, but in the trance. No need for pepper nor salt consumption, and I must feel this void. The hunger is like a wailing hound locked away in the deepest depths of my belly, screaming at me that I am withering. If I miss a second of not munching, so I'm eating this to suffocate this voice that has become my one singular focus. I'm snuffing this all-consuming fire that has my stomach empty as a scorched and scuttled home. So I'm bringing it all inside to stop the pain. This pain is my driver. This hunger is my adversary. something must give. Because I feel like that I'm dying, voice and separate nagging. Because things are about to become beautiful in the small house. Boom.
Ooh, I love that. Now I got to go next. That's some bull.
You breaking speed around protocol.
I know. I can't find my piece. You know what? I never read. So here we go. Let me keep it up. It is shenanigans. I'm running through the house with scissors. You know how it works. I titled this piece The Blues. Let me start again. Let me keep it a buck. This sucks. Winter days are shorter and nights are longer, and at bedtime, I need extra covers. I wear a hood, sometimes thick socks that are fuzzy on the inside with that rubber on the bottom that'll keep you from losing your stride and tripping when you're walking on hardwood floors and linoleum. I don't know how to do anything else but be mean. I was born clumsy, but I look at the overcast skies and I reflect, this right here is my current mood, and I hate these blues. Nothing is all right. Who knew that a full moon could be a highlight in my life? This ain't right. I've been cooking in my air fryer and my crock pot, baking daily because it adds to additional home heat. This gives me temporary peace, and sometimes there's some laughter. Then a small smile from something that's been sent to me on social media by one of my family members, because everybody's cray-cray. The debate is when I need to go outside. My big coat versus my winter coat, because that always has to be my favorite choice. Which one's going to keep me alive? Because it may just be cold. And sometimes it's below, like below zero, freezing. Like it's actually 15 degrees today was the high, and it was snowing too. And the wind, 40 miles an hour. Anyway, I've been sick for a minute. My mother said, from December to January, 33 days, and many of them I had no voice. It was awful. I could not speak. I was taking these terrible medications, and they were making me feel like I was going to die, but I had to finish them so I stopped being so weak. I had this extra pain on top of being chronically ill. I had to look for hidden cameras. Am I being punked? This can't be for real. So I got back to my house. I took a bubble bath, had a glass of sweet wine, listened to music and listened to poetry from poets other than me. And on most days when these blues that affect me, which people say are seasonal, but I feel like it all the time, in spring I know it'll shift again and I'll be able to make my life make sense again. But right now, I'll allow my pen to cry instead of me. Thankful for the listening ears as I vent, because it's the end of January. We still got a long way to go. I live in the suburb outside of Chicago, so I'm thankful for all the poets who have anxiety or winter blues like me and can release it, because I know one thing for certain, two things for sure, winter's bullshit. In peace.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. You know, this piece right here, it's the community thing we were talking about earlier. As far as one person, every person doesn't have to go through everything. But if we see one person within the community that is going through something, then we should be able to empathize with them and understand how to go ahead and bring that person back into the fold as far as, like, wherever they're lacking it, or at least try to be a cog in the road into that happening. You know, it may not just come from one person. It may come from many people in many different directions. It may come from people that are actually going through that could help a person go ahead and get through that stage in that phase. That's why I think what we're doing today as far as this show goes is so important. You know, it's a lot of people out there that may sympathize with some of the things we're doing up here, some of the topics that we've been talking about, Gina. That poem right there exemplifies that. You had a hotline in there. You had a few hotlines in there. And I thought I was going to remember him, and you kept on bumping him out with another standout line. So next time, I will have the pen and pad on scratch.
I'm not even there, Jay. I'm going to be honest with you. Until it's spring, I can spit that. So, yeah, it's like my theme song for winter. I hate it here.
Right.
I need to go somewhere
warm. I ain't
warm.
Like winter for a different reason. You know, now that I'm down here in the Arkansas, I only got to deal with winter, like, really for, like, a good solid 2 weeks. And after that, I ain't got to deal with winter. But, yeah, you know, I'm from up there in Michigan, so
right.
We're right across the water from each other.
Yeah, I was about to say, you were up the street from me. But here in the Midwest, winter is brutal, and it hadn't been real cold. It hadn't snowed hardly any. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, look, let me remind you one more again, this is winter. And I was like,
yeah, folks, get relaxed.
I
the minute
it
the
here.
Shoulders go down, I'm coming in to get them.
Absolutely. For anybody that forgot. So I know we got callers in queue. You probably want to crank up a jam for us. Everybody, get your libation. Get yourself comfortable. Get ready. When you hear that you are muted, the mic is yours. Please come on and bring us your best. We're here to each one love one so that we can get through this mess.
Well said, Gina. Well said. Give me a hot second here.
So here at Epiphany Radio, we are just letting you know that every show, Monday through Sunday, is sponsored by Raw Links. And why be ordinary when you can be raw? So I know Jay is going to spend a tune for us, but in the interim, I just wanted y'all to know that I have my Raw Links. I need another one. I have one bracelet, and I just that's not enough. That's just the beginning. It's not the end. I want to have a collection to make me look like a gypsy, so I have from my wrist
right.
Bracelets. Like, look at her. She done went nuts. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for this. All right. I'm about to go ahead and hit the toe button right here, Gina.
What do you think?
Turn out the way we planned it, but it was getting there. Tried so hard to make believe in the best intentions of hidden honesty. Ever pause to think how good it'd be if we were free. Bye-bye, angel, I'm glad I seen you, if only for a minute. Bye-bye, angel, never forget me, and never lose your feelings. Whoa. I sure do miss you. You're like a piece of sunshine to my eyes, stepping past the clouds. Been really wanting to kiss you and breathe you in and out of me with each and every sigh. Tried so hard to make believe that love was the only weapon we would need. Ever pause to think how cool we'd be. never forget me, and never lose your feelings. Bye-bye, angel, I'm glad I've seen you, if only for a minute. Bye-bye, angel, never forget me, and never lose your feelings.
Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, offering you quality, laced, poetically based shows 7 days a week. This is your poetry outlet, your universe for poetry. What you waiting for? The call-in number is 319-527-6300. Call in. Press 1 to be heard. Or just simply listen in. This is the For Real Entertainment Network.
Radio. This is Songbird, and you're listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
Oh, Gina, wait till we get it down. We're going to be killing it, man.
We almost there. You know how we do.
Yes.
I like the baby stepping, but I will give you this. Our love of poetry has never changed. It's never shifted. It doesn't matter where we are, or who's listening, or how they're reaching us. We're here for poetry, and we want the poets to be okay. So at the end of the day, it's always going to work out.
Every time. I'm about to go ahead and bring this first caller in here, Gina. What you think about that?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm already knowing.
All right. Good.
Hey. What's going on, family?
Who is this?
Hey, bro.
Oh, no, it's Wallace.
You know that's Wallace the Elder. Look at, hold on.
What's going on?
It was me and Wallace. It was me, Wallace, and Van before you joined. So don't start.
All right. I'm just checking. What's going on with you, Wallace?
Not much. Y'all call me while I'm in the middle of my errand, but that's okay.
You know what, man? You be doing 5 million things every day.
Yes.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you, Gina?
Yeah, we can't give you any delay. Obviously, mentally, you are stable, and if you're not, you are high-functioning insane. And I salute that. I am as well.
Hey, but I'm actually not okay, though, right? No, all the events are going on.
Do what you do. We're going to get this poetic therapy out the way. So once you fit your piece, I hope you feel better. We can't do nothing else for you, bro. that's your life. You want to just maintain.
Hey, Wallace, are you stable? Can you spit right now?
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, he's in the store. I'm going to hear my piece. So here
okay,
we go.
Cool.
Oh, that's
go.
What I'm talking about.
We're going to say less.
Free show. All right.
With that being said,
it's called Broken Pieces, the Keep It Y'all theme.
Oh, yes. Jerry, give him the mic.
All right. With that being said, Mr. Wallace, Elder, Mike Joseph.
Thank you. At times I fall to pieces, can't ever be the same. Sometimes I'm not stronger than the pain. At times I fall to pieces, won't ever be the same. I succumb to the pain. I'm creating a mosaic. It's made of the broken pieces of me. I've had my fair share of moments of brokenness that left me shattered and scattered. Hammer hits to the psyche when people used to ridicule, bully, and antagonize me. I'm back to the heart when I lost all my stuff. Moving from house to house was tough. Lack of stability or consistency. Countless traumas left me broken to pieces. Left in a heap of mess of sadness and anger. Fear and loathing. My happiness and joy, confidence and patience. All mixed and scattered across the floor. At times I fall to pieces. Can't ever be the same. Sometimes I'm not stronger than the pain. At times I fall to pieces. Won't ever be the same. I've succumbed to the pain. So I tried putting myself back together, fitting together the jigsaw puzzle of my broken pieces to make a complete me. But too many gaps existed, all those minuscule mining shards that were lost left me bereft, longing for completeness. I had to make myself over, take those broken pieces to make a beautiful visage, take all the parts of me and fit them together up close. I couldn't see what the new me looked like. I couldn't recognize my completeness until I stepped back and took in the whole picture. I thank God for the strength to create the new vision for my new image. So I took all the pieces, laid them in a frame, blended the joy and pain, and with all the pieces, I have been remade. My sunshine after the rain. And the elder has spoken.
Yes, you have. I appreciate that so much. I actually feel better. And I don't usually let anything get me down, but every now and then I get in a funk or I'm feeling like I can't go on, and then I hear you or somebody, you know, has got their head screwed on straight. I'm not naming any other names because, you know, some of it will be a lot. But the reality is we didn't get to pick each other. We just happened to become brother and sister, and I love your strength and your endurance, and you give so much of yourself to people every day. The fact that you're able to keep your head on straight, that means the world to me, because I know we both come from a place of violence.
We have to let the people know, Gina.
What? I'm not. It's the truth, though. I mean, honestly, you're one of those. You're a gentle giant now, but there was a time when you couldn't control your anger. I also...
Oh, he's crazy.
I had, look, hold on, court imposed, like this wasn't my choice, you know, it was ordered by the court that I attend anger management twice and failed. And I was told by the judge I would either go and get my life together or I was going to do jail time. And I was thinking, I'm going to choose get my life together for 200, Alex. So thank you, Wallace, for making me see that there's always a better way.
Yeah, it's a hard lesson to learn, though.
Yes, it is. Go ahead,
and that's the whole thing with about us identifying within our fellow poets' pieces, man. You talked about the broken pieces, and then you have brought us to the heap of pieces, and then you gave us a visual of the where the pieces came from and how they were formed, and then you took it all the way to the when you got resolution on what to do. It was still just too many pieces. It was just too overwhelming. So you had started looking at it differently. You started looking at it more like a mosaic. Instead of trying to fix all these little micro things, you said, I'm just going to pull back and go ahead and fix it overall instead of trying to track down individual things. Oh, yeah. I thought this was really interesting at the end, too. You kind of like mad scientist, your Frankenstein, and the cracks and the gaps that was in between, you went ahead and used, I guess you would say, love to go ahead and heal those pieces and mend those pieces back together. That's pretty dope, Wallace.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, the whole idea was to say you can't put yourself back together the way you were when you were broken. You had to make something new that was still beautiful.
Absolutely. And then that's, like we were saying, preventative. If you can see yourself realistically and accept what you've been through, but know that you can be something else, you're not going to be the thing that you were, but you're going to be something else, and that thing is going to be great. That's all we need. And you embody that in your peace, Wallace. Ooh, my heart. Yay.
Is he trolling us?
No, no. Family. So with that being said, Wallace Reed, a.k.a. The Elder, what do you have going on in the poetry world? And it doesn't have to just be Clubhouse, because we know you do those things. Black History Month coming up.
Oh, yeah. So I got a couple of events coming up. I'm going to be doing a Black History event in my hometown of Hartford, Connecticut, at the Mark Twain House for the Urban League. That's going to be on February the 9th. I am the poet for the evening on that Black History program. Then I have, you know, a lot of charitable stuff that's going to be coming up soon. Dates aren't all solidified. I have another performance end of February for another event. So, you know, keep it busy. And then, you know, we got every Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, we have the kitchen. The great room we had today. Y'all know that. Y'all were in there. We really
I was going to ask you about what happened today.
Six rounds of poetry that was just pure fire. It was amazing.
I knew we had the host tonight, but I was thinking I can just be on cruise control because I'm already good for the poetry day.
Yeah, that room was off the hook.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Thank you so much for, one, being the first poet on the mic tonight. Two, like I said, you encourage and uplift me because there'll be times when I'd be thinking, yeah, I don't care nothing about these people. And then I think, you know what? I need to be more like Wallace, right? Because we at one point were in the same place, and now we're trying to be in a better place, and you can only lead by example. So you are a positive influence on me. And I'm a hot mess, so thank you.
Still, you're being too modest, Gina.
Wallace knows that. I appreciate that. Thank you for coming through to support us here in the Epiphany Universe, bro. We will see you tomorrow at Clubhouse in the living room, the Small House of Poetry.
All right. You have a great show. One love, one mic.
Thank you. One love, one mic.
Be easy, brother.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. We had a poet. We got
more.
The poets are here. They came ready. Even if La Perla Negra forgets to raise her hand initially, she realizes that she raised her hand because she wasn't trying to be a mutant like me. That's like, I don't raise my
right.
Or unmute myself. So at least, you know, if you get one out of two right, you're still better than me. I'm working on that, though.
I am, too. I'm trying to at least get break even. If I could break
That's
even,
awesome.
I'd be all right. I feel like I'm always breaking underwater. And under warranty.
Absolutely. Let's get our next poet in.
All right. Who is this next poet here?
Well, y'all was just talking about me. It's La Perla Negra.
You know what?
Hey.
You said, look, I raised my hand. I said, is she trying to be me? What's wrong with us? You get sidetracked, right?
Yeah, because I'm in here doing, I'm multitasking. I'm crocheting.
Right.
And I'm trying to look like styles, and you know, I love a lock bun, but I want some curls, some tight curls this time.
Yeah,
you know,
I like your hair. It looks heavy, and like it would make me. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I got this afro now that I don't know what to do with. But one of my aunts wants to braid it just to see how long it is, because she wants me to get my, like, you know how you get the braids and you take them down and you don't comb them out, you just finger comb them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get out there like that. And I promised her I would. So the next time I put a profile picture of myself on social media, that'll be it, because I don't remember how long it's been. Like, it's been years, honestly, at least 5 or 6 years. My daughter says since she was in high school, but she made that up, since I had enough hair that you could do something with. And that's where I'm at now.
I would start out with everybody's grow. Yeah, I would start out with some goddess braids up into a bun, just so it's not so much stress on your hair.
Okay.
To start with. You know, I like a updo. I love a classic bun because it can go with anything. You can wear a trash bag in this bun.
Yeah, I don't like bangs. I don't need side curls. Yeah, so I feel you. That sounds good.
Yeah. What would y'all suggest for a gentleman in his 50s that don't have nothing in the middle and missing a whole lot on the side? What would y'all suggest for a man such as this?
A man with no hair, you said?
I ain't say no hair. Don't do that.
Bald headed with a big bald head.
No, that's wrong too. Your descriptions are terrible, man.
You said you had a bald spot and you want hair to grow there?
Wait a minute. Y'all emphasizing the wrong stuff.
What you say? I feel like I didn't get through to y'all at all. What you say?
Hold on. La Perla Negra. Apparently, we didn't hear him.
No, we didn't.
Apparently,
he ain't trying to tell us again what he said.
That's funny.
I was going to get him some tips.
I already seen you about to give me do some shaping of my eyebrows and everything. I pulled on up out of there before all that could happen.
Oh, no, I don't mess with my face. I don't mess with my eyebrows or nothing. I just play with my hair. That's it. I can't do all that extra, really. But I can give you some tips on hair growth.
Hold on. LaPerla Negra, if I put on lipstick,
no.
I done beat my face. That's a whole face full of makeup for me. Lipstick.
I'm trying to tell you.
I promise you. Okay. I'm doing the most.
I can't do all that makeup. They look like they jumped in the makeup compact and just climbed out of it. I can't do it. I don't even know what's called. Girl, don't even get me the line because I wouldn't know where to start. They got foundation for the highlighter, for the foundation on top of that. Stop, please. Then they got to spray some setting something on it. Nope. My pores can't breathe as it is. I developed adult acne once I hit my 40s, and I felt some type of way, but I still don't put all that crap on my face. I can't do it.
And that's why I didn't accept your help the first time, because I'd have been going down that road that you just went down. I'd have been getting drugged down that road right there.
I was trying to give you some tips on hair growth. That's it.
No.
But the only thing that really makes hair grow is the stimulation of the nerves to make the blood flow.
No.
That's it.
No. Never.
Nah, this is what we're going to say, Diva.
No, not never.
You're bald. Accept it.
Wait a minute.
All right, this ain't no cosmology class. We got to get some poetry going on.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. The sooner that you accept yourself, the better you all be off mentally. So I encourage my co-host.
Oh, wow.
Embrace his lost follicles.
Love being my empathy.
You guys
are
making me care about stuff I don't care about.
Oh my goodness.
He's going to attack.
Look, this is what we're going to do. I'm all part of the mic. Jay, stand down.
No. Hold on. I got something even better than that, Gina. Can I take it this time?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, what the fuck? The mic is yours.
See. I'm trying to offer helpful tips, and you coming sideways. That's all good.
I laughed out loud, and I'm going to tell you something. Laughter is good medication. Thank you.
Hey, you just got
always.
A dope.
He is Ren Anderson.
It's all good. I'm lighthearted.
Hilarious. I think it was on purpose. And with that being said, LaPerla Negra, I love the fact that you came through on this Saturday night so that you could share poetry to help all the other poets to get right. And with that being said, Diva, the mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called The Gift. I am breathing in life. The life he speaks into me every time he is in my presence. He has adorned my soul and peace. Wait, I'm sorry. He has adorned my soul with peace and seduced the universe within me. Like the coverage of petals of roses that fall just because they know with each gentle placement their presence adorns the ground with beautiful change. I am breathing in life. Like the fact that the seasons know that the secrets of why change is inevitable to make room for growth. Just as nature keeps the purity in its delicate balance, untainted and unstoppable. I am breathing in life. The life he breathes into me from his positive attitude and amazing outlook on life daily. Because not only did he teach me how to locate the switch that turned on my light, his light shines through and all around me. I'm breathing in life. And if I never get another chance to be with him, I wouldn't even be upset. Because he put a permanent sparkle in my eyes, a shine in my cheeks, a smile in my heart, and the gift of pure love. I am breathing in life. And that's that piece.
That was dope.
Ooh-wee.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say this, and Jay, I'll yield the mic because this is real brief. I've found that every time in my life when I had romantic love on top of familiar love and agape, my life
mm-hmm.
was still complete, and I would just be loved all around me. But even mm-hmm. now, in the midst of being single and loving myself, I still feel like I have that same level of love. I'm just open and receptive to romantic love. So I think as long as we live in that place, we'll be okay. So I love that as a preventative for mental health awareness and keeping ourselves
mm-hmm.
focused during these dreary times of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Ooh, girl, yeah, I felt that 100%. That was everything I needed to hear, and I don't need nothing else, but I know there's more. So with that being said, Jay, the mic is yours.
Danielle, this poem here was surrounded around breathing. What does breathing represent for you in this poem? You know, I know that the word was in there, but it seemed like that the word had another meaning for it, too. What did the word breathing represent in this poem?
What it represents, when I say I'm breathing in life, I mean that someone that comes into your life and is in your energy that is just completely positive. And no matter what, they make you see the brighter side. It's like me. I try to speak life into everybody, not just my friends and family, but everybody. I want them to see that life is not all bad. And that's what I allow around me. And it's somebody that just makes you feel like you can actually exhale, release, and just relax and just allow life to happen without trying to control everything and tightening up all the time. You know what I mean? Just somebody just makes you feel good and doesn't disrupt. They may intervene and interrupt a little bit, but they don't disrupt and disorganized.
They don't destroy.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know what? Like when I heard the movie, the name of the movie, Wait and Exhale, and I seen that, you know, it was women centric. I was kind of like, oh my goodness, you know what I'm saying? They got the movie. I ain't even seen it. I'm just throwing a male thing out there. And then as I started living through life, and things sometimes things would get real tight.
Mm-hmm.
I would go ahead and take a. I'd be like, you know,
yeah.
Even though I've been breathing just enough to live, but I really have not been breathing the way I would normally
mm-hmm.
breathe if all this pressure was not on me.
Mm-hmm. You learn to release the pressure, that monkey on your back, or that thing that you allow to stress you out, because, you know, we allow stress in. We don't, you know, we may not invite it, but we do allow it in. And we have to understand that it's not what's happening, it's your attitude within the situation. And if you take a positive outlook and have that mindset, you know what, this ain't going to last for so long, I'm going to get through this. It can, you know, give your system that release, like, I ain't even going to stress about this, because stress don't change nothing, it just makes it worse. You know what I'm saying? So when they say waiting to exhale for those women, it's everything that has been going on in their life, and they can't sit back and just relax. Now you come home and you've been on your feet for a long time, or your back been bothering you something. You finally get home to your favorite comfortable spot, and you can sit back and be like, finally. You get it?
All right.
Yeah, I did.
You know, it's one of those things that you keep on living, you'll learn. You know, you'll know.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't
do
it.
Yeah, it took me a minute to get there, but I just realized, you know what, I'm not in control of nothing. It's spirit and nature. That's it. And I feel better about it.
Gina?
All I can say is I agree. I love what she had to say, what her piece represented, as well as the commentary and how we can take care of each other and ourselves. And that's most important. We need to get through rough times, because they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sun don't shine every day. Can you stand the rain in the name of, you know, doing addition? I love that song because of that very reason. You know what, it's not going to always be, you know, with the sun shining. Storms will come.
You're absolutely right.
You stand the rain. If you can't, then you're going to be messed up, like for real. Like you can say, oh, I'll be fine. I'll just stay in the house. No, you're going to be shivering and terrified because of thunder and lightning, and maybe the power going to go out. You're just not going to be all right. So you have to.
And
you're
going to stop lying to people, too, once all they get through with you.
Get yourself together for real. So that's the whole reality of life. We're either going to come to it, or we're going to navigate through it. And we're just trying to navigate. So
that's right. Learn to dance through your storm, too. You know, I love the rain shit.
Yes. So that's all we can do. That's all we can do. And you definitely left us with a blueprint and an example of what we can do in the interim. Until times get better.
Absolutely. And they will.
Better.
My late husband just said it'd be greater later, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All we got to do is recognize it when it comes and go ahead and mark it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all right. For real, hate for me to say that.
Yeah, okay. True story. It's
what
if
you
said
it's too good timing? Damn.
All hard. Right, y'all. I just love it here. For real. But, yeah, I know everybody has an idea of how you pull yourself together, but I know that collectively we all have the same thing in mind. At the end of the day, we all want everybody to be okay. So
that's right.
Whatever your contribution is to that, bring it. Thank you for your contributions tonight, LaPerla Negra. I'm glad that you were here, and remember to press 1 to join in with the fun with me and Jay. One love, one mic.
You're welcome. Thank you. One love, one mic.
Hey, we appreciate you, sis.
Appreciate y'all.
Hey, hold on a minute before you get out of here.
Uh-oh.
What that Battlestar Galactica be looking like?
Yo, I'm, listen, I am such a science fiction
I'm such a fan of stuff like Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers, all of that stuff, man. I love those kinds of things. Yes. Oh, yeah,
I had the biggest crush on Princess Ardala. I went back and looked at it a couple of weeks ago. I was like, yep.
Well, she used to irritate me running her ass behind Buck all the time. Ooh. I wanted Wilma to just punch her in her damn mouth, but...
All right. Space fire. That's what I'm talking about.
It's all good, though. It's all good.
All right, sis. We're going to go ahead and set you down.
All right. One love, one mic.
All right. Let's go ahead and get this next call in here, Gina.
All right.
All right, let's see who this is right here. 323.
Sincere from Los Angeles. What's going on, brother? What's up, twin? Blessings.
Oh, man. It's
hey,
Sincere
twin.
From Los
I'm
Angeles.
I'm like my co-host. I know every coach.
How you doing, bro?
Hey, brother. I'm just vibing on everybody's what I'm listening to, and I'm going through my own personal storm. Like, everybody's got their storm, and the key thing is just enduring. And I've been on the self-love journey for two years now, and it's been such a life lesson learning process that it's incredible. And I wish everybody would go and do what self-love journey.
Yeah.
What Gina's storm just said, love yourself first. Put yourself first, second, and third. When you love yourself and you put yourself first, second, and third, everything else opens up. We respect your energy. You respect who you are, the human being.
Right. Got you.
You allow
been opening things up for you. Like if it would be a normal time where things would be a certain way, how does it help you to navigate with that philosophy there?
I don't let the outside world, what we see with us being purged or going through the annihilation process that we've seen on Coast to Coast from CNN. I don't allow people that are intimidated by me, a man of color, to keep my head up chest high, to be intimidated by me. I'm not going to let the LGBTQ mafia and pronouns change who I am, how I was raised. How the world is changing. Because everybody don't drink Pepsi. Everybody don't drink Mountain Dew. People call it soda. Some people call it pop. Now you're taking away my choices. That's what I mean by, you know, self-love. Hey, well, hold on. Like, I don't have to. Why are we as a human race being forced to change to something that's been here already?
Gotcha.
We fighting for something that's been here already, that you and I taught in high school. I've been in high school for 30 years. We learned that from Plato and Socrates. Maybe I'm wrong. How is that important now? We learned that in high school. And why are we living out what we learned in high school now presently because somebody feels some type of way? What about everybody else is feeling? But I'm like, you know, that's what I mean by self-love. Just getting away from all that and eventually...
Right.
And putting your objective, what you got, who pays your bills? Because my thoughts and how I like you or not doesn't stop you from putting gas in your car, eating, or paying your mortgage. Whether I'm accepting
hey,
the poor community or not, what's that?
That's the truth, man, because sometimes we can let how other people feel go ahead and cause us to feel a certain way about ourselves. So I do understand
man,
it on that level for sure, man.
I feel like we're back in high school. It's the most populars, the nerds that just read, or the people that played chess that didn't play sports. We look down. So this is, to me, is all high school again, just in a new 21st century version.
You know, the crazy part about it, though, Sincere, is the ones that are chosen to be popular are the ones that they have the run of the table.
And they're miserable because they don't love themselves.
Well, it depends on whoever is at the head of the table, because sometimes it's not as advantageous for us, for the last folks to not be at the table than the folks who are at the table now that's running the whole show.
Facts. But sometimes everything's not meant for everybody.
True.
And if it was meant for me to learn, God would put it for me to learn. Like grown folks say, mind your business. Some things, if it's meant for me to come across it, God will let me have it. If it's not meant for me, it's not for me to have, or let alone be ahead of a table that does not mean me any progress in life.
I agree 100%. Gina?
Okay, right now, this ad, because I got to get this off my chest. Thank you for letting me have this platform. Everybody else in the world is progressing, moving forward. Why in our own African-American community we are destroying each other? It seems like we're getting further.
We've been programmed to do that, man. We've seen other people do it to us, and we've come to expect it. It's almost like a battered person. Even though somebody doesn't mean them some harm, they can go ahead and interpret what you do as harm.
And I'm going to throw a curveball. So you telling everybody on earth gets, I hate to use this word, bullied? Everybody gets picked on? So everybody's got to seem like they got to die outside of my own hands but from others? So how many wars I got to fight, let alone others want to kill me but my own? When is enough is enough?
I think it's fair.
There it is. Say it again.
I think it's fair.
Fear.
I think some of the fears come in that they think that we will do the same thing to them that they did to us. And then that's their main fear right there. So it's not corrected anything, and it's not even proven. We have not. Not by a long shot.
We have not. All the things that's happening to us, Chicago, Detroit, the Eastern Seaboard, east of the Mississippi, going – we have never uprised and said, okay, enough is enough. We're going to start killing everybody that's not black.
So their fears are unfounded.
Exactly. That's the whole premise. So when are we going to wake up? Take back what the world's supposed to reset for us. I'm still waiting for a white mummy. They keep digging up all through Africa. Everything is not – everything is of color. When are we going to wake up and say, damn, we did? God must have been black. Everything I'm digging up is of color. Everything. I dislike Donald Trump, former president. But he opened up the box to let us know, black men and women, what everybody has done to you. Since you allow me to disrespect you, I'm going to keep going until you stop me. That's what the world is saying. I'm going to keep going until you stop me. And then you'd be justifiable to defend yourself because by common law we have the right to. That's what God said. But
they've been using us as a battery, man. We've been powering a lot of this stuff here. The culture that we've brought here, the culture that they've always been angry about until it gets to the point where they assimilate it into their own culture. That's been going on for a long time. If they had not been here gobbling and Pac-Manning the niblets that we leave behind, this country would be so far behind and ass backwards, man. It'd probably be a Japanese here right now or Chinese or somebody here right now predominantly. The black man has been I'm going to tell you like this. In Yellowstone, they had removed all of the wolves from Yellowstone, and there were no more sheep there, no more ram. So they started reintroducing the sheep and the ram, and they were kind of struggling, but their numbers were building. They had coyotes and foxes there, and they were going ahead and pick off the lambs or what may have you. And they said, well, we'll to make it complete, we have to put the wolves back in there. And they're like, oh, no, we can't do that because the lambs are barely getting to a point where they can keep themselves populated. They're like, well, if we're going to do it right, we have to do it right. We have to put the wolves back in there. They put the wolves in there. The population of the sheep exploded. And the reason why the population of the sheep exploded was because that the wolves kept all the little coyotes in their little what they call them rascals, when they're opportunistic snackers from going ahead and grabbing them. We have been that wolf for the United States for a long time. For a long time, ever since we've gotten here, even when we were in bondage, we were still that wolf. We were bringing in that money that made this country great to the point where this country can defend itself from another country that would just want to sail over here and take it over. That was done off of our backs. We are the reason why this country looks the way it looks right now. I hate to get off in politics. I took a tangent over there, but that was just my take on it.
No. So now I'm going to go into my poetry. I'm a miscarriage from a misinformation. I was a misdeed from a mishand. I never had a say-so from being an afterthought from an afterbirth. I was a sin before sin begot because my father made me from lust. Where's the universal crust for allowing me to expand, to explore? But how could I if I went back into the house of souls before I even had a thought to reason? Because I was a miscarriage from a misthought. Sincere from Los Angeles, just at peace.
Whoa. That's a headbanger right there. Sometimes it don't have to be a long piece to hit the heart. You said all you had to say.
Gina Storm, that was my first freestyle. I never wrote.
Oh,
I was listening to you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh my God!
I've been so scared of myself, and I gotta thank Immediacy Davis. I gotta thank you, Gina Storm, for believing me, Van Meadows, for guys who's been with me from day one. But I've been so scared of I didn't think I could do it, and just today, hearing all the poets before me, I just pray to God before you Jay, before you even click me on who this was, I asked the Lord to guide my words. So that was my first time doing that. So thank you for allowing me to be part of it.
Wow.
Sincere from Los Angeles, made history tonight on the Just Jay and Just Gina show on Epiphany Universe. The network is Epiphany, and founder is Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet. We don't want to be ordinary because we can be raw, and I just can't believe that you did that, twin. Thank you. Jay,
hey, how does that feel, Sincere? I was about to ask her, how did that feel, man?
You have opened up. It felt great, but it was just everything. I've been reading on USA Today paper, the Maryland paper, D.C. paper, just reading online, and just finally putting it together. Just frustrating, you know. Just finally getting it off, man. It feels great. It's just like I'm talking to you. So I don't know how to describe it because it's my first time doing it. So it was lovely. But just having this platform and just opening up and just seeing everything, it's just so discouraging as a twin flame, as an empath, and being alpha male, just seeing how we are not really progressing as we should have.
And
we still, just a lot that we still are. We're not willing to take the rein and saddle up the horse and purge for our true freedom and who we are as human beings.
Hey, bro, we appreciate you coming in here. If you really want to support us, man, come in here next week and we can continue the conversation.
That's done. Next week it is. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Much love to you, Cynthia. Hey, bro, you need to go back and listen to this, man. You were in the pocket. You were in the pocket deep, too. I swore you wrote this.
No. That's straight from God's words.
My man. Gina, do you have anything that you want to say to your twin before we move forward?
You were playing a song when he called me. And he was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, co-hosting with Jay on Epiphany. He was like, I'm on my way. I was just checking with you. You know what I'm saying? Like the regular weekly phone call that we always have. Like he said it so casually that I never would have guessed he was going to freestyle tonight. So
I'm so floored. I have to listen to the playback because I'm not going to be okay until I hear that again. Because in my heart of, in my mind of minds, you know, from the time we hung up the phone till you unmuted his mic and we said hello, I'm thinking he's just having a conversation with us, which is always dope for me. But for him to freestyle his piece, bruh, I told you, it's poetry without a mic. Trust the process. The words always come. They will. I love that. One love, one mic.
No, right. Hey, that was awesome, Gina. He actually helped us to go ahead and segue into our next portion as well, too. I'll tell you what I'm going to do right quick, though. I'm going to go ahead and play a quick song, Gina, and then we're going to go ahead and get to our next portion.
Segment out the way. Absolutely. I'm ready for you. Let's go.
All right.
Sorry, I just wanna love you.
Gina, we're going to go ahead and break into this next segment here. You care to let the people know what it is?
Absolutely. This is This Week in Black History. For us, Black History is 365, not just in the month of February. So this is what we do whenever we're on a mic and sharing with poets who have like minds like us. When we're on Clubhouse at the Small House Poetry, we're going to bring it here to Epiphany as well. So in the previous week leading up until today, So we're doing 21st of January to the 28th. Willa Brown, the first African-American woman to earn a commercial pilot's license, was born in 1906. I got my private plane license in 1988, and I would like to get a commercial license as well, but yeah, I'm not trying to be bothered with people like that, so that's another story. On the 22nd of January, Sam Cooke, a songwriter, performer, and singer, was born in 1935. On February 23rd, General Sherman's Special Field Order promises African Americans 40 acres and a mule. That was in 1865. I'm still waiting for mine. I don't know about yours.
I'm still waiting, too.
Okay. So on the 24th of January, Arthur A. Schomburg, a historian, was born in 1874. There's a Schomburg Elementary School here in my hometown. On the 25th, Etta James, an award-winning singer, was born in 1938. Condoleezza Rice was sworn in as the first female African-American Secretary of State in 2005. Y'all can call her a sellout if you want to. She did big things, and I was proud of her. At soprano, Leah Tame Price debuted at the Metropolitan Opera in 1961, on the 27th of January. And on January 28th, Richmond Bathe was a sculptor of African-American descent and was born in 1901. And his works are in major museums across the U.S. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just proof that we're not a flash in the pan or a group of people who only deserve the month of February to be honored in. But we are kings and queens every single day, all 365. You always give Black history for me. Thank you.
All right, all right. I sure was about to ask about Condoleezza Rice. I was like, do we like her? I had seen some things.
Look, she's still squad. She might have forgotten for some time.
All right.
Purpose. The things that she did in her life were amazing, and she had lots of accolades outside of being part of the Bush administration. But the reality is that was the first time anybody of color had had that role, had had that title in this country that don't love us. So, yeah, I'm going to give her a pat on the back. You go, girl.
Hey, Bush had a thing for Black women, didn't he? I ain't really realized that until you just had mentioned that whole thing right there. I remember I used to look at her with the adoration.
He wasn't like your boy. I swear, when I went to Arkansas, Little Rock, I was at the state capitol. One of my girlfriends was stationed in the Army with Stephanie's dad while we were in Europe. And when we got back, she was like, you know, we're going to go and meet. He wasn't even the president yet. He was a candidate. And I was like, what's his name? And she was like, Bill. His wife's name is Hillary. They got a little girl. But, yeah, that's the governor of the state. And I was like, oh, so you think Clinton might be the next president? She said he might. We went to meet him. I shook his hand, and he tickled my palm. I'm going to leave it at that. Y'all grown.
He charismatic.
Yeah, he's something.
I heard that women used to try to work with him to try to make something happen just off of the one-time meeting.
I ain't hurt, but I ain't mad at the chick who did what she had to do to still be coming up in conversation. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's nasty, but hey.
Yeah. It could have been a nobody, though, and then she got exactly that nothing.
Ooh, my mama would not be proud. I'm just going to put it out there. My mama would not be proud.
Oh, shoot. She had to wear them pants to be the boss of that right there. Ooh, she had to wear them pants for a long time.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's terrible. You know, I got a million billion brothers, and one of my brothers said, hey, so I had called Becky. You know, that's the random name that they use for certain people. And I was like, word? He was like, yeah. I was like, hey, can I get that Lewinsky? And she was like, that's not funny. He wasn't laughing. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Man. This has been a good night of poetry. The Black History segment on it, I'm loving that right there. Oh,
I
yeah, we're more than just poet, man.
No, honestly, I look at us like, you know, we have a serious job to do, sure. And mm-hmm. in the world of poetry where we matriculate, we need to make sure we're setting an example, because sometimes there's something lacking and we want to provide it. And sometimes we need someone to encourage us in a way that we didn't think to for ourselves. And so that's why these right. shows are a necessity, because you and I both had something we wanted to bring to the mic. But all the poets who call in, it's their view, their vision, their thought process, how they're coping, you know, before it becomes too late.
Right.
We need to get ahead
of
it.
Get out in front of it.
Yeah, we do. We need to get ahead of it. We really do. We need to be proactive and not counteractive.
Yeah.
So knowing that, we have a responsibility. We're going to do everything we can. And I told people that don't know, because you got to do it to understand what I'm talking about. If you can smile and laugh, you've just given yourself a dose of happy. And I'm going to tell you what you live when you're happy. Sadness, depression, insecurities, grief, anxiety, all the things that weigh you down and make you think that you can't, they get wiped away, even if it's just for that second when, you know, you're the corners of your mouth turn up because you're smiling, or you bellow, or even giggle, just a little laugh. You know how I do that little,
Betty Rubble.
So, when I'm a Flintstone, when I do that, you know that I'm trying to suppress it, but the reality is it still got me. But it's important. We need that. So that's what we're here for. Absolutely.
I know one thing. I'm going to tell the people who need to raise their hands, they need to raise their hands. And also the people, as a reward, if y'all hang around, we'll try to go ahead and get a speed round in with y'all.
Oh, I love speed rounds, yes. Please and thank you. With that said, we're here at the Epiphany Universe Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Justina, this is the show, not the rehearsal. Bring it. We did. We want you to as well. We're trying to get out ahead of mental health issues, depression, anxiety, and whatnot, because we've been discussing it for 2 weeks across the whole universe and the poetry communities in which we live in. But we want everybody to know that it's okay to not be all right, and we're here for each other, and that's how we're going to make it through.
All right. I'll tell you what, before we bring this next person in, I'm going to go ahead and put this snippet right quick.
Let's go.
That was good. Where you at, Gina?
On mute. I had to use the spray bottle on my fur baby.
How has that been going for you? I know you don't like to show your face.
I'm going to write a piece called Life with Luna. Because I've been telling everybody since I got her, yes, like I'm her person and she's not my cat.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason why you keep saying that is because you keep finding out every day that that's wrong.
We should belong to each other, not one against the other or one above the other. And until she understands hierarchy, we're going to have a problem.
Don't negotiate with me, negotiate with her.
Hmm. She ain't hearing me. You can hear her in the background meow meow like she lost her mind. Yeah, nah, she ain't having it.
Let's go ahead and bring in this other caller here. Let's All see right. who we got here. These first three look kind of familiar. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Who we have next on the line?
Mama Donna.
Somebody sound like they lost.
It's Mama Donna.
Hey.
No. Mama, you have to excuse Jared. You know he's not right, and it's getting late.
I know that. You know, an unsettled mind knows, you know, the older he gets, the more unsettled he gets. So I ain't worried about it.
Yeah. I'm waiting for my bolster to be installed into my neck. So don't you worry about that.
I'm not. I'm used to it.
All right. How you been doing, Mama Donna?
I'm doing good. Just woke up.
Awesome.
And I said, wait a minute. There was something I was supposed to have been doing. It was kind
of
important.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like
me.
I was scrambling and rambling and making the network go crazy.
Well, that's very usual. So that we're not really worried about your rambling, okay, because we're used to that.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it doesn't translate well on the radio, so try to clear it up.
Gina has a question for you.
Go ahead.
Is there anything that you can do that's a preventative measure for depression and anxiety, not just seasonal, but in general? Because in the poetry communities, we see a lot of people being overwhelmed or their pens are drying up because they're going through something and they're in a funk. And we're trying to get out ahead of it because we've been discussing what happens in our community and how we use poetry as therapy. But what happens if that jumps in front of you and you didn't see it coming? Can you put up a barrier and save yourself from it? Or do you become one of the victims that's under the wheels of the bus?
Well, what I used to do was pack up all my emotions into little compartments in my mind and say, hey, I'm going to close you up and I'm not going to deal with you. I can't deal with this right now. If I deal with this right now, I don't think I can handle it. I don't know where I'm going to go from here. But then this weird thing happened. I came on the clubhouse and then I started doing writing, which gives me an outlet. But sometimes that writing is not giving me that outlet because sometimes the things are so pressing and so detrimental to my psyche, like what's happened over the past few days. So I had to disconnect from people, places, and things and just find me a quiet space so that I can just decompress. That's the best way I can do it. I have to decompress. If I don't decompress, I'm going to explode. Because as much as I'm trying to avoid the chaos that's around me, the chaos is coming to me. So I have to find some place to go so I can decompress, so I can better handle those situations when they come.
And that, yes, decompression is definitely a way that you can get out of it. And also, like you said, if you just take some time to unplug and be quiet, you'll be surprised at the strength that you'll gain because your energy is not being drained by a source that you don't even believe is a drain. But it is.
It is a drain because, you know, I find that I work in a job. People might not think it's a stressful job, but it's a stressful job. And then being in that stressful job, when you're dealing with somebody that this has failure to thrive, that's not willing to do anything to help themselves, and you're trying everything to push them to do what they got to do, it can be very frustrating and very stressful. So, you know, I'm a caregiver. I hate to see somebody not trying to do for themselves. So I'm trying to make her do, but I can't make her do. So I get frustrated, and then my stress level gets up, and I'm ready to explode. But how does that help the situation? So sometimes I have to remove myself from it and just let them work through their process because I can't walk them through it. Because doggone, you know, I got crap that's going on inside of my shit right now. I got things that's hurting me right now. And if I sit up there and concentrate on you, all I'm going to do is delay my blow up. So I got to sit down and say, hey, you got to process what's going on with you and deal with it right here, right now.
Understood.
Because that thing of boxing it up and putting it away, once I open up those compartments, I can't do it. I can't close it back anymore. I try my damnedest. You know, that's a real damn thing. I hate this fucking writing shit. I'm going to tell you straight up. Because at least things that I've had hidden so well and for so long, and now I can't put, as they say, you can't put the genie back in the bottle because it's done.
You was worried about that when you first started doing the poetry, about what you're going to open up. And I didn't have no real understanding on that until this whole process that you've been going through as far as your poetic maturity has been increasing.
Yeah, it's hard to, when you're used to bottling up emotions and then you finally let emotions out, you can't rebottle it. You can't put it back in the bottle. You know, every damn thing just about bringing tears to my eye. Very rarely did I cry. Now I cry at things. Things that I would have just let roll off my back, they can't roll no more. Instead of rolling off my back, they roll down my face through tears. So
where
I'm
are you
that
at
emotion.
As far as, like, where are you at as far as, you know, this whole travel that you've been taking? Do you feel like it's something that you should not have done?
Well, I'll never feel it's not something I shouldn't have done. I might not like being in the process that I'm in because those emotions are raw. And if you're not used to dealing with emotions and they're raw, it's uncomfortable and somewhat downright painful. But it's also necessary. Because I'm always walking around like a shell of myself, but now I'm getting the fullness of Donna. And in getting the fullness of Donna, everybody else gets the fullness of Donna.
Right, right. And it's almost like you're learning yourself again, too. Yeah, it has to be rather.
I'm learning myself, period.
Yeah.
Because you can't learn yourself again if you always shut yourself off.
Yeah, or if you do get to a certain place, you don't believe that you should be there and the rest of it. Then once you finally get there and you know that you're supposed to be there, you have to even learn how to sit there and be in that space.
Oh, yeah, because once you let them walls start coming down, you can't erect them again. That was my stronghold. Let those walls up. Oh, you think you can hurt me? You can't hurt me. I have put you behind the wall. What you try to do to me, touch me. But now the walls are coming down. So the things that I try to avoid, I can't avoid anymore. Because guess what? People are going to hurt you intentionally or unintentionally. Things are going to hurt you intentionally or unintentionally. So you trying to put your head in the sand like you're an ostrich is not going to change the situation. You're still going to end up hurt. Now, how do you handle the hurt? Will determine how your growth in your life. I was acting like a child when people hurt me before. I'm now handling it as an adult through my writing. And because if people heard what I was going through last night after that tape came out about that boy's killing, Lord, I had all kind of pieces spitting out of my mouth, and I'm not afraid. I was like, but I don't know the one I knew. You understand what I'm saying? Because
that was a powerful piece too there.
Yeah.
You did it in the kitchen.
Right. And I was planning on doing it here. So. But what I wanted to do, it's not completed because in my mind's eye, this is the son during the incident. But as a mother, well, I guess what hurt me the most is that her finding out her son was on.
Well, we're going to talk about that in the preheat so you can roll directly into the poem. My sister,
right.
You around?
Gina? Are you on mute again?
Yes, I was talking on mute. I apologize, y'all.
No, Gina.
Honestly, you know what? It's like the conversations that I have to have with my cat. I don't know what nobody to know me like that. So I just had to leave
but
myself
sorry,
on mute.
You know you like that.
I had to run her out the room because she was going under the bed.
No, we're going to have that mic open constantly. We got to hear them conversations because I believe they're real organic.
It's horrible. She's trying to be the boss of me. And so she goes under the bed, then under my foot, then under the bed, then under my foot. When I put my hand out, she runs away. But she meows first.
Why do you
like,
think she keeps trying to be the boss of you?
What?
Because the cat.
Why
you never been around a cat?
Yes, I have been. She is being the boss of you. There ain't no trying to.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why she keeps saying she's trying. The cat is the boss. Don't care
nothing about you people.
The cat is trying. The cat is trying.
The cat is the boss. Because you're sitting up there, a grown woman, sitting up there talking to a cat like it's one of your best friends. So you know the cat already won.
Cat part is my daughter and my girlfriend both said the same thing. They were like, I can't remember the last time I talked to you and you didn't mention that cat. You know what I was thinking? Nobody thinking about that cat. And then, I don't know, half an hour later, let me tell you what Luna did. Oh, so ain't nobody thinking about that cat. So then that's when I found out.
You conscious of it. That's the best part. If you weren't conscious of it, I'd be really worried about you.
Yeah, she'd be dead because I wouldn't be feeding or changing the litter box. Yeah, you know, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to have a roommate. She might not be a people, but she's still a living being that I am responsible for.
She's a good
for.
Dry run at a people.
Yeah, because I can't people right now. People ruined that for me last year. But, yeah, so it's a new year, and it's a new me, and I'm a cat lady now. And, Mama Donna, I love your perspective because it's a necessity. And we were just trying to get out ahead of mental health issues like depression and anxiety because we've been discussing that for 2 weeks between Small House and Epiphany, yet we had no preventative measures. Let's try to get out in front of these things before they can even take hold. And if you can do so, great. And if you can't, maybe you will hear a coping mechanism that you can employ. So that's what we're doing right now.
All
Thank
right,
you, Gina.
Mama Donna, the mic is yours.
All right, here we go. The title, Mama. I can't wait to get my dinner. Why is this police car behind me? He pulls me over. Hi, officer. Get out the motherfucking car. Okay, officer. He opens the door and yanks me out violently. I ask, what did I do? I am met with commands from several angry voices screaming epithets at me. I'm trying to cooperate. Stop resisting, they say. Give me your hands. I try, but I can't because they are holding them. This is so damn confusing. At the same time, they are beating me into submission. I am being hit by the feral dogs dressed in cop outfits. I need to get away. I am close to home. I implore them not to hurt me. I am crying like a newborn baby that has been smacked on the ass. I try to keep a level head as they abuse my body. I just want to get home alive. I can't let them kill me. What have I done to be treated so callously? I run to get away from the pain. Mama, I'm trying to do what you taught me. Why, God, why? Mama, you told me to cooperate. I can't, Mama. I have to run. I just want to get home. I'm running towards you. They catch me within the 100 feet of my destination. They are relentless in the brutality against me. I cry in pain. I hurt everywhere. Why are they tasing me? Mama, I love you. This pain is excruciating. I am looking at men who look like me. Mama, they have the look of animals. Their eyes are soulless as they take my life. They can't be my end. My son, I love you. I feel my bones crack as the baton hits my body with malicious intent. Mom, I scream in desperation. You see, I am only 100 feet from home. I blank out when a foot kicks my head. I am no longer aware of what they do to my body. I look from on high while they drag me and prop my body up against their vehicle. I'm not there any longer. I knew I was going to die in this exchange. I am not a statistic in a hashtag. Mama, I tried to get you. I'm so sorry I failed you. That's the wisdom of Mama Donna.
Mm. How's it take a breath?
Mm-hmm.
second time hearing it, but it didn't hit me any less in like in my chest, in my gut, in my heart than it did the first time, because I don't have a son, but I have a lot of brothers, and I have a grandson. And I don't even know how I feel knowing if one of them were calling my name, because they were right 100 feet from my door. They couldn't make it.
And you don't hear it.
And I didn't hear it inside. Before I could get to them, my heart would be broken over and over again. Not feeling like I failed them, but yeah, kind of feeling like
I failed. And that's the part that I think that's what's breaking me down, Gina, is that they took her son, but they also left her with a lot of guilt for something that was out of her control. To know that your child just 100 feet away and you don't know that he's going through that. 100 feet away, they are killing your son. 100 feet away.
And he was calling for him.
There, and he was calling for you because he was 100 feet away and you're in there cooking his dinner because you know he's coming from work to eat to go back to work. And you don't know. That tore me up yesterday when I heard that.
When you talk to my mother, if something like that happens, my mother will tell me, baby, avoid the news. You might want to stay off social media today. That lets me know right then something happened that I don't need to know. But I do need to know it. I needed to hear it in poetic form, because I'm not saying the blow was softened. It was just presented in the way that one would if that were their child. Because I feel like all of them kids of mine, you know what I mean? Like, even the husbands and fathers who died, he might not have been my son, but he definitely could have been my brother or my nephew. Because how are y'all just killing us? Like,
family. If they look like us, they were family.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
And then for you all, these five black men, to do this to another black man. And you know what? He wasn't a criminal. He loved doing photography. He loved skateboarding. He had a 4-year-old son, and y'all beat him. Y'all did not into an inch of his life. Y'all beat him because I believe he was dead on that ground when they propped him up against that car, because he never regained consciousness. You understand? Kicking him in the head. What was within you that you thought that this was okay to do to another human being? In you. And then for you to think you're going to be treated the same as your white counterparts, they're putting your asses up under the jail.
Oh, yeah. I was watching this back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Now, where's that back to blue? That back to blue ain't backing you.
No, you know, the NRA, whenever, you know, white folks shoot people, the NRA is out there talking boldly about, you know, they had their rights and a black person do something, even though they're in the NRA and they're paying their dues same way like everybody else. That money don't mean as much. You do something wrong, you step out of line.
Oh, no. You know, you can Texas, open carry. You could do whatever. But let a black man walk down the street open carry. All of a sudden, everybody's staring at him. You know, it's a shame that I'm coming to this fruition in this later stage in my life of all the injustices done, because I've lived in a bubble. And I'm tired of seeing black bodies. But then when you're seeing black bodies and it's being perpetrated by black bodies in blue suits, and they rather clean their hands of his blood while he's standing there while his life is draining out of him. There's something wrong with our society. What happened to our humanity? We're being desensitized to it.
We are very much so being desensitized to it. You know, I used to see these videos from around the world where, like, say a person is crossing the street and the person gets hit by a car, and then another car comes and, like, run the person over, and then another car come and, like, run the person over. You're like, wait a minute, this not real, is it? And slowly I'm seeing inklings of that coming over here, where you just have such an extreme disregard for life that you don't even understand when a life is being taken.
Our black bodies getting killed is their entertainment. It's the fuel that they live off. So they even, unfortunately, even in this media, and you can be a black person, you've perpetrated because you keep showing the same video over and over again. It drives into our souls, into our, and we're not going to be saved, not even by our own brethren.
No.
Because they'll be the ones perpetrating right along with their white counterparts.
Mm.
That blue light that you're talking about, that is a uniform you put on and you take off at night when you go home. It's a job. I can't. Can you, Gina?
Well, in the last few days, Mama, I appreciate you for bringing that to the forefront. And to people who didn't know, like I said when I heard it earlier, I knew something terrible had happened involving black cops and a brother, but I didn't know the details. And you spelled it out in your book. My brother, who's a Joliet police officer, will be retired. He's not going back to work. He got injured on the job in December. He's using up all of his vacation and PTO time, and he's in physical therapy right now. So when he goes back to the police station, it'll be to clean out his locker, turn in his keys and badge and gun, and he'll be done. And I'll be happy for it. And I didn't realize how horrible things would get when he became a cop. But I see that it's not, it's open season on cops. It's open season on blacks. And to be a black cop is almost oxymoronic. And I need him to be retired. So thank you so much, Mama.
You're welcome, Gina. Thank you for that, because he do need to be retired. Because that whole thing that they put us through, and you could assimilate it into it. It's just like back in slavery days when the overseer would pick a black man to sit up there and beat the slaves to make them listen. Because you know what? And then that black man thought he had all the power. So the white man told him he could have it.
Facts.
I heard that, Mama. I heard that.
Well, that's that piece.
And you know,
thank you for letting me share it.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
one last
night. We got to get this whole speed round kicking off. And we're going to need another piece out of you, Mama Donna.
Oh, I guess so, but I have to.
I love it.
If I have to, I guess I can try to find something else, because I need something. It's gonna always gonna be. I'm gonna do my petty act of admonition. I need something petty in my life.
I support that 100%. With that being said, Jay. We're going to line up the callers and queue it, and I will give them the speed round rules after this track.
Hold me and hurt. every sentence long.
Oh, it felt so long.
And the words you wrote then with so much conviction, sweet like a perfume neck that you rubbed the paper on. But it's all just a dream.
Just a dream.
The next
officially 10:04 Central Standard Time, 11:05 now Eastern Standard Time. If you are hearing my voice, you're in overtime. Thank you for staying with us. If you did not call in or were listening online, I bid you adieu and happy weekend. I will see you next time. But right now, if you're still listening, it's just Jay and I'm just Gina, and this is the show, not the rehearsal. So we're going to go into our speed round. That's simply, don't give us your name, the title of the piece, who inspired you, or what made you write it. Just spit your piece and put a signature on it so that the poet after you knows that you're gone and they can go next. We're going to do it sequentially. When you hear that you've been unmuted, then you know it's your go. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for staying here with us during the speed round. Let's get it.
What's wrong with these men?
Okay, my mic was open too. I don't know, man. So.
Yeah, so was mine.
Okay. You can go ahead and go.
What's wrong with these men? Approaching me with their hands in their pants? It's like they're checking to see if their dick is still there. acting like they can rock your world, setting you up with false advertisements, can't fuck their way out of a wet paper bag, expecting you to act like you are the best they ever had. You may have the equipment, but you can't operate it if your life depended on it. You think that pounding into me is pleasuring me? My insides feel like a meat grinder. I would love to walk again. Is that possible? Can you manage that? Can you stroke it slow? You're not running a race. It's apparent you just needed a depository. Let me more than a receptacle. I need to go to sleep. This is boring. Are you done yet? Have you ever heard of a pleasure button? It's a button that makes me moist. Did you forget I am a participant? That my release is just as important as yours? Oh, I get it. You're a selfish bastard. It's all about your ejaculation. Fuck me. I mean that literally. Did you ever hear of lovemaking? I'm asking for a friend. I am ready to activate the petty. I don't know, but it's time for you to go. Get the fuck up off of me. You're not finished. It's time for your ass to leave. Lose my number. Don't call me ever again. Just in case you think I'm tripping, you have already been blocked from my phone. Petty is not what I like to do, but I will activate if necessary. In this instance, it's warranted for you. Where is my damn vibrator at? What a disappointment. That's the wisdom of Mama Donna.
Soft is strong. Great is low. One day, my story will be told by someone that misses me. Not because they can no longer draw good energy from me by disrespect or disregard, but by someone that loves me just because I am who I am and I was who I was. I am covered in skin so thick, no one gets to come in. I'm trying, but with no one to touch, I keep falling down. And ghosts perform interpretive dance with silhouettes of my tears in my private space. I give my all because I know love will never cease. One day, not only will that beautifully perfect love for me come, but we'll be with it. But for now, I am covered in skin so thick, I don't even know if I remember how to let someone in anymore. My heart is tied to healing people because I signed a soul contract for life to be filled with caring. But it has conversations with poetry, so it isn't empty. Filled with legendary tales about empty souls breaking it from being presented with the face, presented with facades of love's appearance. I always stood on my own because I never wanted to need someone. I am not an option, and appearances don't feed my soul. I just wanted once fall into the arms of all I'd ever need. I don't just want to fit wherever, want a love of my own. And peace, a Perla Negra.
I don't always know when I'm in control because sometimes my emotions win and I didn't even know that the battle had begun. My heart used to amuse another who was hell-bent on my demise. After several painful examples up close and personal had shown me to be cautious, so I surmised that pain inflicted would end me if unchecked. So I'm breathing. I let it slow to shallow as the grave that was meant for me. I've had sharp blades cut me long, deep, and wide, and I survived. Scars are now honor badges. My emotions often bring forth damage. My attitude, homogenous and savage, erased or deleted in life, not just context or social media. And I don't even hate you. But my peace is important, and I achieved it permanently. You're not the boss of my reactions. My behaviors belong to me. Although several times mentally I bid you rest in peace or pieces, I'm flexible. I haven't been able to use my moniker 187 in a while, so there's been no murder, death, kill on my behalf. And even when creatively unstable, since I have become the person that I fear, I would tap into the healthy part of my psyche so that I could come back from the caterpillar through the chrysalis to be a butterfly who flies high and is not afraid to let people in. Sometimes emotions can take over, and I understand that since I've become emotional again. What else can I do? I'm human. In peace.
Normally, my poetry doesn't pander. It doesn't beg, and at times it loves to deliver the bad news. But today, I will pander. I will pander to the wants of the people, and the name of this piece is A Penny for My Thoughts. A penny for my thoughts. No obligations. I will just keep emoting until the scale reads 1 red cent. If you can see me, a poet, as being worth 1 cent, no more, nothing less, form be your weight as I splay my debt. You don't have to move a muscle, but at least be considerate and consider it into a poor man's investment. Listen, if it allows a way for you to observe yourself from the outside clearly, possibly clean to the inside, you will not have to burden or to expend any energy in an endeavor to save face. But allow me to expend my breath until you have self-identified with swaths of this life or in its entirety, until you at least understand the nagging thing about me is the reflection of you. And because of this poem, you have become wiser. Do not for one word, until it has served you more than anything else in a great while, make these lazy words earn their keep, because the audience of your person is duly appreciated, and it's very much so necessary for me to earn that penny that is deep in the recess of your pocket. Let your laughter, let your snicker be your healing, the healing of body with soul in it needs, in order to be whole. For it is wine and laughter that cheers nobles and elites. But before you leave, leave this poet one beam off of that hill. Boom. All right, all right. I'm about to get these other mics in here open too, Gina.
Make it so.
Right. And I pardon the confusion on my behalf at the beginning, y'all.
That's all right.
That's okay.
We know you're confused.
Okay.
I ain't want to say nothing.
And I love the fact that everybody knows it was
well, maybe I got to send both of y'all back out and have y'all come back in again.
That's all right. We've already said what we had to say.
Why they did it. It's you that confused
I'm
us.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all making tonight tonight.
So Jared, did you notice any changes in that piece?
No, I did not. And I wasn't taking notes either. I was just feeling it.
I did. I felt like it was a mantra. It makes me feel justified in the way that I feel about being single.
Okay.
Now, see, I thought you would see it that way.
You do understand this, Jay. I'm between marriages. Mama Donna ain't studying no new husband. I will get married and get single right now, but in the meantime, in between time, boy, bye, I don't need you. I have plenty of batteries. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
No. I did hear you mention something about 20D batteries. Was that the part you were talking about?
Yeah, bye, Brady. Yes, I said, because that was a waste of my time.
Oh man!
I was thoroughly disappointed. I need something to finish it off.
I heard
you
that.
You gotta get one of them joints that it don't need batteries, just rechargeable with the little cord.
Oh, you know, yes.
Maybe
I need to buy my rose. I ain't bought a rose yet.
Oh, Mama, let me tell you something. That is probably the best gift you can ever gift yourself with.
Ooh, child.
One between Mary's sister to one
suffering from PTSD because I think she's having a flashback.
That is gift, yes. It will pay for itself. Trust me. It's worth it.
Yeah, it is.
This is a PG-13 crowd. Thank you very much.
PG-13,
your
minor child. Feet are grown with grown kids. Can we have grandpa? Wait a minute,
Karen
is a grandpa.
He's the only 13-year-old
in the room.
If you're under 13, you ain't even supposed to be up this time of the night anyway. But take your ass
to NC-17 then. We're going to find something that's going to be a violation of.
Well, I figured that would lighten up the load for my other pieces.
See, Mama Don, you need to call in on Wednesday night. That's the erotic love zone. We can have all
kinds of. I promise you, we got some pieces.
Yeah, ain't no holes barred on there.
Well, let me tell you what's
Wait
funny.
A minute.
Every time I read that piece,
I
it made me real quiet.
Right.
Every time I read that piece, the men get real quiet.
Every time she read that piece, I was giving her a high five from Illinois to Connecticut.
And don't make me get quiet. Make me
I
wag
like
my
it.
Fingers. For shame.
Hey, we know about the
y'all
business.
Y'all rascals out here putting the bad word out here for me.
And Jared, we know about the fingers walking, too, because if they miss the ball, we have to go catch it for them.
Yeah, yellow pages.
Even with a GPS, they can't find the G-spot. I'm just saying.
be trying to give them directions, and they sitting up there practically standing on our heads. Nigga, here it is.
You got to buy one of them hats with the little flashlight on top of it.
And shit, they already got a hat. You got to go and open the flap.
Look here, coal miner. You need all
y'all
that.
Go down when y'all go down there, you are not on a scratch table. You are not a DJ. Please remember that. Okay?
Okay.
Please.
This is not a search and seizure, honey.
Ziggy, ziggy, ziggy. I'm out of here.
No,
not that gold tooth. It's not the whole tooth, but it's like a rounded tooth. Yeah. It's like a...
You got a little
like
notch missing.
And the capillation is the outline of your... And then that's the gold part. It might even have a diamond in the middle. And you trying to do this thing.
The sunroof top.
Honey, that person, I'm putting the cross up. I see somebody with all that in their mouth. They ain't coming near me.
Look, somebody told me your skin get caught in there.
Ooh.
Let me just go back to my original statement. I'm violent and I fight. I almost punched a dude. First, I used my feet. Him on his shoulders and used my heels and kicked him across the room. And when he came back, he was like, what happened? What's wrong? And I was like, from one,
yep,
I think I'm bleeding.
Of a host.
One, I think I'm bleeding. Let me get a mirror check. Okay, I'm not bleeding.
Girl,
you can't never do that again.
Flag
on the plane.
You know what the funny thing is, Jared? Ho recognize ho.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Ho recognize ho.
So, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, just Jay and Gina have been acting on donkey in the Epiphany Universe once again on a Saturday evening. You know, I love the fact that they allowed us to come here and host the show. And then I have to also question the sanity of the CEO, because there ain't no way in hell.
I remember that conversation.
Right, I'm like, ooh-wee.
Like, they were all my
husband.
You
had to tell
them
everybody.
This is just proof of the matter. But, yeah, I love y'all. I love the poetry.
Oh, Lord.
And the smiles. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we were trying to get on track mentally. And we did so.
That was my impression of Danielle.
So...
Well,
Hold on.
I hate to tell you this, Jared. If you got to tell the person that's their impression of them, you didn't do it very well.
It was terrible.
If they didn't get it without you saying it, you didn't get it.
Look, I got it.
Message.
God, man, I'm
sorry. I love it here. Thank y'all so much. I mean, I was like practically standing on a chair with a noose around my neck about to kick it. But hey, y'all came through with the poetry, showed up. You know, Jared was here too. So, you know, we just gonna make it do what
it
do.
I was poetry today.
Oh, yeah, you were poetry today. I'm going to give you that. You know what? And I won't take that from you because you actually were. Because, you know, sometimes you phone it in and you want
to
be theatrical.
I'm not saying when you give a person to it like that, it means that I ain't been having it for a long time. So you can go ahead.
You had been theatrical, not poetical. So you came at the poetry side and not the theatrics. Because I was thinking, is he trying to be an actor? Is this a monologue? What's he doing? Oh, my God.
It took that me to build this one here.
Anyway, getting back to reality. Thank you, guys. I needed this. I really did. I'd had a rough week that I don't discuss, like, out loud, but I'd be going through stuff, and sometimes you don't even have to know that a person is going through something, but when they know that they can count on their people to get them through, that's what y'all did for me. I really did. I got through because I didn't give up, and I can't give up because my family's crazy. I need to be here to see the rest. What's going to happen next?
Look at you over there giving up.
I love every episode of us. So, yeah.
Look at you giving up.
Oh, no, I can't give up. I can't give up. I'm going to fight the good fight too much.
The funny thing, I almost didn't come on. I said, oh, shoot, that's going to be too late. And I said, but I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did too, Mama. So get some rest, and we will see you in the living room on Clubhouse tomorrow.
Yes, for sure.
One love, one mic.
You're all right. It is kind of late.
It is, because they're on the East Coast.
I know.
We're Central. They're Eastern. Appreciate you, Danielle.
We only got 1 hour better than they do.
Anytime, y'all. Appreciate y'all, too.
Yeah, we just...
Wait a minute, Diane. Right. You got something going on in the Epiphany universe. I apologize.
You do. She
know, we took in our sea legs up under us.
Lord. Oh, Lord. All right. I'm going to start with Wednesday night. People, every Wednesday night at 9, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone. Co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Miss VIP. Now, we don't have a topic as of yet, but y'all know how we do. Every other Saturday, I am host of Poetic Therapy, and that's a place where you can come and release some mental stress through some open mic poetry and some great conversation. Or you can just sit back, put your feet up, take your socks off, and listen to some smooth sounds from my playlist. Baby, baby. And every other Friday night, and one half host of, oh, Lord, I forgot the name of the show. Goodness gracious. Iron Sharpens Iron.
Yes, I was about to say Iron, right?
I'm sleepy tonight, though. And I co-host with Epiphany's own Anonymity, and that is from a Royal Pen's perspective. And depending on how the CEO of Epiphany feels, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Monday nights, I am, 1/4 host of the Soul Cafe, where I co-host with the CEO of Epiphany Radio, For Real, the Poet, Poetic, and Just Jay. And y'all come on by because we got a second half of the show. It's a segment called Pick Up Your Pen, and you're going to love it because that helps you tap into your creative side. Now, I'm going to hand the mic back to these wonderful hosts.
Hold on a minute
here.
Before you try to scurry on out of here. Does that mean what? That for one more game he going to come off the bench?
He might. He just might.
Yeah, it's one of
those. Ooh-wee, I will be there.
Yeah, it's one of those. When he's feeling it, y'all will have that show. And I look forward to it. I'm going to tell you why, because I wrote some of my best pieces picking up my pen.
Okay, me too. Surprised myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, I did. So, yeah. Look forward to it, because I know it's going to happen again. We don't know when, but we know it's going to be on a Monday night, and it will happen then.
Am I done now?
Is I'm done now, Jay? Can I go? Because I'm sleepy.
She tired. Nah, she's
trying to make it seem like it was something I did wrong.
No, you just made her run the whole Epiphany rundown. Like her name was poetic.
She in the whole entire Epiphany right now.
You ain't going to hold me hostage no more. Every time I go to open the door and stick my foot out here, you go, wait a minute.
Ooh, now
you got off.
Walking, honey. I'm tired, y'all.
We will see you.
One more, Mike. Because they're trying to get out of here now. Must have been something you said. They're all trying to jump ship.
No. Jay, it's almost 10:30. We done already had a speed round. You just hemming and hawing and dragging it on. I'm going to land this plane. I think that you should find us a track that we can end the night with, because Luna is in my grill. Like, Ma, are we still up?
Well, that's okay. What the problem is.
I know. It's Uncle Jay. It's not me. I know. It's bedtime. See, yeah. So, because she's my boss, and I told you that, and you act like she not. She's looking so pitiful. Like, I'm just walking around trying to figure out when I can lay down. She's not going to stay down.
Don't care about you.
She's going to let me go to sleep, and then she's going to terrorize.
That cat don't care about what you talking about.
I promise you, not even a little bit. But it makes me feel better if I say it. I feel like I'm still in charge. I know I'm not. So, thank you for encouraging me.
All right, raise your tail up. Let us see you. There you go.
Who didn't think that I was ever going to get a comfort pet of any kind? And I was trying to get a dog that I could travel with. And I ended up getting a cat that I'm going to travel with. Oh, my goodness. She is flicking the pan right now in the tray. I was in there being Gina Storman and not her Miami. Let me get her a snack.
You're in trouble now.
I know. With that being said, land this plane with a song, and we'll see y'all in these Epiphany streets very soon. Thank you so much for joining.
We're going to do it with this one right here.
All right now.
I know your heart is in the right place. No, I won't let you down.
Thank you.